All right. Well, 2 Timothy in chapter 3. Before we begin our study in the Word, let's pray together. Lord, you are so faithful. You are so wonderful to us.
Father, even though we may fail and stumble and fall, you are still there
to pick us up, to help us, to brush us off, and to set us back on the right path. Father, there may be some this morning that have gone on the wrong path, that have headed down the wide road to destruction. Father, I pray the message would be convincing to them, convicting to them even, that your way is the best way. Lord, this morning we recognize that our world is full of wickedness. There's so many wicked things, evil people, terrible tragedies that we experience on a daily basis in this world. Father, I pray this morning you would help us to see those things as a clear picture, as a clear sign that you're coming back soon. We are living in the last days. So, Father, bless your church this morning. I pray that you would teach us by your Holy Spirit's power. We ask and pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. What is this world going to be like in the days just before Jesus Christ returns? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What will life on this earth be like in the days just prior to the return of Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus himself, when he was on this earth, taught many times about his coming, his second coming, the time when he's going to come back to this earth with judgment. And he said, you need to be watching for these certain things to happen. He mentioned things like earthquakes, famines, wars and rumors of wars, false prophets and false teachers. All of these things we've seen increasing as we get closer to the return of Christ. But there's something in the Bible that we're going to study this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 3, a very clear and let's just say a very clear signs that will happen before Jesus Christ returns to this earth. And it's not what you may think. You know, when you study about prophecy and things like that, you hear about, you know, the nation of Israel. Obviously, there's importance there biblically. You hear about the earthquakes, the famines, the wars and rumors of wars. But something that is often neglected when we're talking about the return of Christ or living in the last days is exactly what's mentioned here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And that is, people will start to get worse. People. Character. Who they are, what they do. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 begins like this. Know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. And from verses 2 to verse 9, we have a list, it's quite large, of the activities, of the actions that people will be doing that are very wicked and anti-God. And so one way to know that we're getting close to the return of Christ is by looking at the way the world is acting. Right? Looking at the way the world is acting. Not only the world, but also the church. So this morning we're not just going to say, well, let's look at them. We're going to say, let's look at them and let's look at us. Amen? Are you perfect this morning? Me neither. We're going to take a look at ourselves. And I pray the Lord would bless us, that he would give us an urgency that we need to live for Christ, because I guarantee you this morning we're living in the last days. Jesus, when he was talking with the religious leaders, they were asking him for a sign. Show us something that proves you're the Messiah, you're the Christ. Show us something that we can believe in you. And Jesus knew their hearts. And he replied to them by saying this, you are hypocrites, because you're able to discern the times and the seasons, the face of the sky, but you can't discern the signs of the times. You see, there are certain things that are going to happen when the Messiah comes the first time, he already came. He's saying to them, it's obvious, I'm here, this is who I am. But there are also things that will precede the return of Christ at his second coming. And this morning, we're going to look at a few of those things. And I want you to be open, all right? I want you to think with me. Last week I said we shouldn't leave our brains at the door. Did I say that on Sunday or Wednesday? Was it a Wednesday service? God hasn't called us to leave our brain there when we come in. You get a bulletin, maybe a Bible, but don't leave your brain. Keep it. I want you to really think about this world, and I'm going to give some illustrations of our world today that may help us, but I believe when we're through today, we're going to be sure of one thing, that we are living in the last days, and secondly, there is something we can do to be strong, even in the midst of a wicked world. Those are the two things, okay? Verse 1, know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. And in verse 2, it says, for men will be lovers of themselves. Let's actually read through. Can we? Can we read to verse 9 and then go back and study through? Let's do that. Men will be lovers of themselves. I just thought to myself, what if you said no? No, Pastor. Just stay there and start there. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Well, here in these verses we have quite a list, don't we? Of, we can say, bad things. Look at all these bad things that have been described here. And it says that in the last days, perilous times will come. And the description of a perilous time is a time when there are perilous people. Right? That's why I can call this section perilous people. Perilous means dangerous. It means you better watch out. It means something bad is happening here. Well, let's go through these and we'll ask ourselves, is this in our world today? Do you even need to go through? I think just by reading we can say obviously, right? But let's go through and we'll describe each one. Again, I'll give some helpful illustrations of our world today. Number one, men will be lovers of who? Themselves. Men will be lovers of themselves. You know, I think if there's one message the world is preaching the loudest, it is, you need to love yourself. In fact, everything in our society today is revolving around us, right? People care about three people. Me, myself, and I. And if we take a good hard look at our society, we see it's true from the television programs to the magazines. I remember seeing a magazine. It was titled Self, Me. You know, it used to be things like People and the Nation and things. That's okay. Then it comes down to Me. And the magazine is targeting people who want to make themselves what? Better. The fact is, we love ourselves. Isn't it true? We love ourselves. And in the last days, one of the ways that we can tell that Jesus is coming soon is that men will be lovers of themselves. And this morning, and I had some response after the first service. I had some people come up to me and say, you know, Pastor, I never thought about that. Because this morning, maybe you're like me, you've heard the message of self-love coming from the world, haven't you? The one thing we need is to learn how to love ourselves. That will solve all of our problems. No doubt you've heard the message of self-love coming from the church as well. Have you? It's a fact. And I'm asking the question this morning, is the goal of loving ourselves something that Jesus wants us to have? I say no. Self-love and self-centeredness is a wicked sign of the last days. There was a pastor, Roy De La Motte. He was a chaplain at Payne College in Georgia. And he saw this disturbing trend in the modern church of the self-love gospel. And so he preached the shortest sermon in the college's history. However, he had a rather long topic. Are you ready for the topic? His topic was, what does Christ answer when we ask, Lord, what is in religion for me? What does Christ answer when we ask, Lord, what is in religion for me? You ready for his sermon? The complete content of his sermon was one word, nothing. He later explained that the one word sermon was meant for people brought up on the gimme gimme gospel. Have you heard the gimme gimme gospel? That is, come to Jesus, he'll give you something. The motivation to coming to the Lord, not because he is worthy or because he is the Lord, but because he's going to give me something. That's the gimme gimme gospel. Self-centered, self-focused. Men will be lovers of themselves. So he said that the reason was for people brought up on the gimme gimme gospel. When asked how long it took him to prepare the message, he said 20 years. He recognized something. We come to the Lord not for what he can give us, but for who he is. Because he's worthy. Though he does give many blessings, obviously. That's not the reason why we come. Men will be lovers of themselves. The message is in the church today. You need to love yourself. You need to learn how to care about yourself. I even heard one pastor say, you know, how can you really love others if you don't love yourself? So first you've got to learn how to do what? Love yourself. Jesus had no such message. You want to hear the gospel according to Jesus? Are you ready? I'm just going to read his words. I'm not even going to really comment. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 to 35, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny who? Himself. And take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Jesus said, you want to come after me? You have to deny yourself. Not glorify yourself. Again, John chapter 12, verse 25. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. You see the message Jesus brought to us? He who loves his life, cares about himself and building himself up as a priority, is going to lose it. You know, Jesus has called us to deny ourselves, right? To say no to yourself. Have you ever had a kid who's doing something? What do you have to say? No. And follow him. You see, the problem in today's society is not that we don't love ourselves. The problem in today's society is that we love ourselves too much. The answer is not building our self-esteem or building our self-love. The answer in the church today is building our Christ esteem. Get our eyes off of ourselves and on to Jesus, and then you're going to be happy. Then you're going to feel good. People say, feel good about yourself. You're going to feel good about yourself when you get your eyes on Jesus Christ. The Bible says this, and this is the Bible. It's true. I hope all of you believe that this morning. The Bible says nobody ever hated themselves. Nobody has ever hated themselves. They nourish and cherish themselves. You think about it. Someone looks in the mirror, says, oh, I'm ugly. I hate myself. And please, don't get me wrong. I recognize there's real problems today in the church. But I'm telling you this morning, those problems that we label as low self-esteem are not, that's not the problem. The problem is their focus is in the wrong place. It needs to go to Christ. People look in the mirror, I hate myself. I'm so ugly. That's not true. Listen, are you following me? If you hate yourself, then you would be glad that you're ugly. Think about it. You'd be glad. I hate you. Oh, I'm so glad you're ugly. The reason why we say those things, I feel I'm ugly, I hate myself. Really, the truth is, I love myself and I want myself to be beautiful or handsome, right? Let's get these two things off of ourselves and onto Christ. Men will be lovers of themselves. It's a sign of the times. The trouble with the trouble with some self-made men, you know, people say, I'm a self-made man. I did it myself. I love myself. The trouble with some self-made men is that they worship their creator. Lovers of money. Is that in our world today? Do I even need to say anything? People love money, don't they? They love it. Do anything for it. People murder to get money. Lie, cheat, steal, become unfaithful. Do anything just to get sente. Brenda Blackman, I don't even need to give an illustration, but I think this is so funny. I just laughed. Because we know people love money in this world, don't we? Even some of us. Maybe you're convicted. Maybe I'm convicted. We do it. We love it. Brenda Blackman is enjoying some measure of success as she teaches a course, How to Marry Money. The course attempts to show men and women to marry rich and costs $39. In the course, Blackman offers helpful hints such as how to search through your prospective mate's checkbooks, study their deposits, and assess their income level. Can you imagine? She's teaching. She builds her students' confidence by leading them in a chant several times through the lecture. The chant is, I want to be rich. I deserve to be rich. I am rich. I was born to be rich. I've actually heard that in some churches. So I wonder if they got the material from her. In one class, Blackman was asked by a woman if it was all right to settle for a man whose income was about $100,000 a year. That's $200 million a year. Is it okay to settle for such a guy, she was asked. She said, no way. The question was asked, what if he's perfect in every other way? And she said, if he was at his peak earnings and he was maxed out at $100,000, forget it, Blackman advised. When someone asked her about the place of love in such relationships, Blackman said that finding a mate with that much money is the hard part. Learning to love that person is easy in comparison. How could you not love someone who is doing all these wonderful things for you? She said. And then the article ends by saying, Blackman is single. People will do anything for money these days. It doesn't matter where you go on this earth. Whatever country you visit, everywhere, people are all the same. They're exactly the same. They love money. They love themselves. People will be boasters. They'll be proud. We can see that. Blasphemers. You know, it used to be, in the United States where I'm from, it used to be illegal to say something bad about God or about Jesus. Did you know that? In certain states, there were anti-blasphemy laws. So you couldn't say something bad. And nowadays, people, it's kind of like cool to talk bad about Jesus, about who God is. They have movies, films coming out, just blasphemy against the Lord. Married to this film coming out where Jesus got married to Mary Magdalene and he didn't rise from the dead and just one blasphemy after another. It's here in our world today. Disobedient to parents. There was a judge in Orlando, Florida, who ruled that an 11-year-old boy had the right to seek a divorce from his parents so that he could be adopted by another family. Junior, you need to clean up your room. I don't think this relationship is working. I want a divorce. Disobedient to parents. Can you see the youth today? What are the youth doing today? And I know there's a lot of youth that are sold out for the Lord. They love Jesus. I love the Megamix. Megamix, you see this place full of young people praising the Lord, just sharing their relationship with the Lord, with one another. But for the most part, the majority in our world today, youth are very disobedient. Isn't that true? Very disobedient. You can't tell young people what to do anymore, even if you're their own parents. There was a little girl watching her mother do the dishes at the kitchen sink. She suddenly noticed that her mother had several white hairs sticking out in contrast to the other brown hairs. She looked at her mother and inquisitively asked, "Why are some of your hairs white?" Her mother replied, "Well, every time you are disobedient, or you do something wrong, or make me cry, or make me unhappy, one of my hairs turns white." The little girl thought about it for a while and then said, "Mama, how come all of Grandma's hairs are white?" Yes, it's human nature. People have been disobedient for years. But in our society today, I'm talking about worldwide, generally, youth are more disobedient, aren't they? To the authorities, to the police, to their parents, to their schools, to everyone. They're unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, these uns. Again, it all comes back, I believe, to the central issue of people are self-centered, focused on themselves. They don't care about anybody else. Slanderers, that is, speaking bad about somebody, throwing dirt on somebody with your words. You know, once you throw mud on somebody, it's really hard to clean it all off. Did you know that? Once you sling mud on somebody, it is really difficult to clean it all off, even if that person is innocent. Be careful. Slanderers. And it continues on, they don't have self-control. Without self-control. Brutal. That word brutal is talking about senseless violence. Do we have that in our world today? Violence. I mean, that goes right along with Jesus saying there'll be wars and rumors of wars. People in our society today are fighting more violent and brutal in their violence. Murdering. I mean, look at the things that are happening in the north of Uganda. And when I hear some of those stories, I can't even listen. It's so brutal. It's so violent. There was a story, and people are doing it for the most foolish reasons. A man was accused of murdering his roommate after they disagreed over the brand of beer the man had brought home. The accused man brought home Natural Light, and the murdered man wanted him to bring home Michelob. As he poured the Natural Light down the kitchen sink, he was stabbed to death. Brutal. People just... Despisers of good. It continues on. Despisers of good. You know, in this society today, in this world today, if you stand up for what's right, people will despise you. Did you know that? Think about in Uganda. We have these men and women who are standing up for the cause of abstinence. For sexual faithfulness, right? And we love them as a church. But what does the rest of the world say about that? Have you read? They think it's foolish, despised, and really coming against people who want to stand up for doing the right thing. Despisers of good. Traitors. Headstrong and haughty. Do you know what it means to be headstrong and haughty? Another word would be arrogant. Someone who's headstrong, it means they really think that they're right all the time. Have you been around someone like that? They come into the room, and they're haughty, they're arrogant, they're headstrong, and you can't give any advice to such a person, right? You try to say something, and immediately they come in with the right answer. Oh, actually, let me answer that. I'm headstrong and haughty. Arrogance. When I think of headstrong and haughty, I think of some of these rappers in the rap music industry, not the Christian ones. Those ones, you know, music is neither good nor bad. It's what the lyrics you put to it and the attitude you put with it. And we love our Christian rappers here this morning. Praise God for you. But you know the industry, mostly there in the United States, these guys, you know, Eminem and 50 Cent and Jay-Z, all these guys. And these guys are headstrong and haughty. What do they rap about? How great they are, right? This is how many women I have. This is how many cars I have. This is, there go my notes. This is how many, they don't say that. That was my. And, you know, over and over again, you have to hear about how great these guys are. You watch the videos. I don't encourage you to do so, but if you accidentally happen to see these guys, they're driving in their nice car with all the women in the back and all the money flying out. You know what I'm talking about? I laughed so hard when we were in the United States this time. I was shove that there. I was driving in a car and I was just flipping through the radio stations and one song caught my attention. It was a rap song, but it wasn't the usual. He wasn't really singing about sex or about violence like they usually do, but he was singing about something and I laughed. He was singing about his grill. You know what a grill is? His teeth. He was singing about his teeth. Because have you seen these rappers? They have all, their teeth are covered with gold, right? And then in them, diamonds everywhere. Just shiny. And they have different grills that they can put in. The whole song was about how cool his teeth were. And it was like four guys, all of them were rapping about it. And I just laughed. I thought, you know, if you I don't know. And they were serious, too. You know, you could just picture them going, yeah, my teeth are so cool. Speaking of headstrong and haughty, Ravi Zacharias, who is an international speaker and writer, in his book, Can Man Live Without God?, he tells the following story. He said, a young, somewhat arrogant cowboy, you know what a cowboy is, right? You can ask Pastor Josh later. He grew up where the cowboys were. Young, somewhat arrogant cowboy was riding his horse one day and he spotted a hunched over old farmhand on a mule. So an old man with his farm and he was on his mule, just an old guy. And so deciding to have a little fun, the young cowboy drew his pistol and told the old man to get down off of his mule. He then asked the old man if he had ever danced. You know, arrogant, these young guys. I'm not a young guy. He began to empty his revolver at his feet with great laughter. So he was shooting his feet. Can you dance? Can you dance? The old man slowly turned back to his mule, unamused, and put his hand into his pack and drew out a shotgun and aimed it at the now bulletless young cowboy. And he asked him, have you ever kissed a mule? To which the young cowboy said with fear, no, but I have always wanted to. Continues on, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I think it gets personal at this one, doesn't it? We can all relate with this one in a small way, can't we? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And that's kind of the message that we've been hearing a lot is, you know, it's about you. You feeling happy. You being satisfied. And we've become lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. What we don't know is that true pleasure comes in a relationship with Jesus Christ. In His presence is fullness of joy, and at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. So it's not saying you either have pleasure or you have God. It's saying you either love pleasure or you love God. And when you love God, guaranteed you're going to have pleasure. We've got it all mixed up. We're loving pleasure. It's the same in the world today. Definitely we're in the last days. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power. And this, I think, is speaking about the church. Because a lot of churches have a form of godliness, or I shouldn't say churches, I should say people within the church. Did you know not everybody who comes to church is saved? Did you know that? So, today, not everybody who comes, except for at Calvary Chapel Kampala. Seriously, though, the truth is that people, though they have a form of godliness, maybe they attend church, or they say that they're saved, or they have God, or they believe in God, yet in their heart, in the center of their life, there is nothing there. There is no substance. There is no power. And I'm afraid that we're growing this type of person in our churches today. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power to do what? The power to change your life. And people are able to go to churches now, the so-called seeker-friendly churches. These places that, you know, you don't preach over 15 minutes. I'd be in real trouble this morning. This is a long message. Don't preach over 15 minutes, and don't talk about anything that would cause someone to become offended, right? Because if someone gets offended, what do? They go away. And then you have a problem because now your church isn't growing. All the people are going away. Do you know what kind of things they recommend that you don't talk about in these type of churches? What kind of things offend? I think probably about 85% of this book can't talk about that. Sin. Do people like to hear that they're sinful? That there's something wrong with them? Offensive. What about hell? Is hell offensive? Who likes to hear about hell? And the sad tragedy is that now we have churches where there is a preaching, there is a time of worship, but within the message and within the hearts of the people, there is no true power because those things that are offensive have been removed. Well, listen, Jesus was more offensive than anybody. Jesus talked about hell more than he talked about heaven, by the way. Now, he wasn't rude. I hope this morning I'm not rude. You look at me and think, oh, that guy's a real jerk. We don't have to be rude. We don't have to try to be offensive. No. I think I talk about it every week. That guy that was preaching to me and he was just, I thought he was going to kill me. He was shouting, whatever. We don't have to be rude, but the message, it must be there. Because the power of the gospel comes when we recognize I am a sinful human being. In me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. There's nothing good about me except the fact that Jesus loves me and is willing to come into my life. That's the only thing. There's the power. A form of godliness denying the power. And it says about these guys, we're hurrying here, don't worry. It says about these guys that they come into houses. Verse 6, they creep into households and make captives of gullible women, laden down with sins, led away by various lusts. Now, guys, don't think you're off the hook here. Just because it says women, you know, it says that because during the day at this culture, usually the guys were out working, right? And the women were at home taking care of the house. And then these guys would come in, these lovers of pleasure, these salesmen, these prophets even, would come into their house. They would creep in, it says. You know how to creep in? He kind of sees the door a little bit open and he kind of sneaks in and the lady's washing. She turns around, hey, how did you get in here? Hey, don't worry, I've got something good. And they've crept in and they're kind of deceiving gullible people. Gullible means you believe anything you hear. I don't want to be gullible today, do you? I don't want to be gullible. You know, the Apostle Paul commended a church in Berea, or the Bereans, because after they listened to the Apostle Paul, they diligently searched the scriptures to see if the things he was saying were true. He said, that is a good thing. Don't believe everything you hear, even from this microphone. Make sure it's according to the word of God, that it's true. Don't be gullible. Don't be led away by your lusts. Let's stick to the truth. It says these guys are void of the truth. They don't have the truth. So what can we do? We've got a world that is full of wickedness. We've got a world that is full of perilous people. We've got churches that have the perilous people have come in. What can we do? Is there anything we can do today? The answer is yes. That's our completion of our chapter this morning. Let's read, beginning in verse 10. You have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, what's happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The Apostle Paul is saying this. Listen very carefully. I know that we're going a little bit long today, but it's extremely important, the closing remarks of this sermon. The Apostle Paul is saying to Timothy, I have seen the way that the world will be before Jesus comes back. In the last days, people will be lovers of themselves. They'll be lovers of money. They'll be boasters. They'll be proud, blasphemers, disobedient, etc., etc. That is the way that the people are going to become. But that is not the way that I am. That's what he says. Verse 10. But you've seen me. And I have good doctrine. I have a good manner of life. I have faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. The Apostle Paul is saying there is a way to be victorious even when everybody else is living in wickedness. That's the hope of the gospel, isn't it? That I can be changed even though the rest of the world is going down. And then he says this, listen, if you want to be different, if you want to be different, people are not going to like it. Did you hear that this morning? If you want to do what is right in the middle of a world that is doing what is wrong, people are not going to appreciate it. Yes, your brothers and sisters will. We're together. We're a team. But people out where you work, people out where you go to school, people that you may spend time with out there who aren't saved, they are not going to appreciate someone who stands up for what is right. Paul said this, I had persecutions, afflictions. They happened to me everywhere I went. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Did you hear that? How many people who want to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution? 50%? 60%? 70%? 100%. Of people who want to live for Jesus Christ in this world are going to suffer some form of persecution. That's a Bible promise. And I want you to be ready. I want you to be equipped. I want you to have the resources available so that when you experience trouble, because you stand up for what is right, you won't fall. Out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Paul said, what's the secret this morning? What's the secret? Are you listening? I'm going to tell you the secret, which is really no secret. It's in our final verses. Verse 14, you must continue. Paul is telling him, this is how you do it. You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, that from a childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I think at the beginning of this chapter we saw every bad work, right? And we are a people this morning, we want to do every good work, don't we? Don't you want to do what's right in this world? Live for Jesus Christ? I want to be equipped for every good work. If you want to be equipped for every good work, here's the secret. It's right here. The Word of God. The Word of God. People think we're strange. Calvary Chapel, teaching the Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Why do you spend so much time reading the Bible, studying the Bible, preaching the Bible? Because the Bible is able to equip us for every good work. Without this, I'm telling you this morning, as a guarantee from the Word of God, we will fail without this book. We'll fail. And Jesus is our Lord, and Jesus is the one who brings us through. But listen, Jesus uses His Word. It's a sword. Do you believe that this morning? I know you do. I know you do. We need the Word of God in our lives. We need it. Do you know it this morning? Can you feel it? I need Your Word, Lord. May God give His grace to the church this morning. We need Him. We need Him. We need Him to help us to study His Word. We need Him to help us to live the Word. We need Him to help us to live in this wicked and adulterous generation. That's my prayer this morning, that God would make us men and women who are different. Who are different. Who live for Him in the midst of this world. Because let me tell you this, from the way things are going, Jesus is coming back soon. Let's stand together and pray. Father, we do ask and pray that You would help us through the power of Your Holy Spirit, Lord, through the instruction of Your Word. Oh Lord, we are so thankful You have left us with an instruction manual for life. Father, I pray that as we study Your Word here, as we read the Word in our private devotion with You, that You would indeed equip us for every good work You've promised. You've promised. Lord, help us. We're so weak. We're people who are weak. We need Your strength in this world. Father, we see people doing terrible things. Lord, we want to stand up for what's right. And this morning I pray that You would bless each person. Help each one of us to live for the kingdom of Jesus Christ and Your righteousness. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.